Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, where we read The Narrow Road Between Desires page by page. This is page 193. He hit me a bit. The smoke in the fireplace made more noise than the other men in the room, as old Cobb rolled his mug idly in his hands, still not looking up. Said a few things, too. Can't say's I remember the details too clear, though. A shadow of a smile curled up on the old man's face as he glanced up from his beer. Then Martin came round the corner. He shared a look with Jake and Graham. Y'all know how Martin gets himself all in a puzzle sometimes? Jake bobbed his head. Caught me in my garden once. Asked why my fence posts weren't square. I couldn't half guess what he meant, and not a thing I said made sense to him. But he kept on like a dog chewing its own leg. Talked the sun down, couldn't understand, couldn't seem to walk away either. Cobb touched his nose. That's the thing, he said. Never seen a man who could get his wheels in a rut like Martin. But this particular night, Martin sees me there with this big bastard standing up over me, blood on his knuckles. Cobb shook his head at the memory. He wasn't in a puzzle then. No talking, not a blink. Martin doesn't even break stride. He just turns a bit and walks up to the tinker. That's the page. I'm Joy.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Bill. Ooh, I like this page.
Yeah.
It's
another page turner.
It is. I was going to say this. I don't know. I feel like Cobb is telling a better story here than he usually does, because he actually lived this, and he's not just telling Taberlin tales. But I mean, yeah, you can see why this guy's the storyteller, and I can't wait to get into what our co-hosts are saying. But Joy and Bill, what else?
Well,
you got?
It pulls us a little more because we know old Cobb a lot better by now,
right?
And so it's not just him talking about something that's sort of farcical that we're trying to dissect. This is an emotional thing happening to Cobb that really kind of wounded him in multiple ways.
He's so embarrassed about it. He has never told the story. Unlike every other piece of gossip that ever happens, he can't wait to talk about.
And the gravity is huge, right? The smoke in the fireplace made more noise than the other men in the room.
It's such an evocative sentence.
Yeah.
You can like hear the fireplace crackling and everybody not daring to say a damn word.
But it's even just the smoke is making, not the fire, the smoke makes more noise. Ooh, that's good.
I guess also, it's just the understated way he's saying, well, he hit me a bit. And then the guy standing over him with like bloody knuckles. So you know he got the shit beat out of him actually.
Yeah.
Well, our good buddy Pat, not the author Pat, our podcast host Pat. You guys know him, right, Pat? Anyway, he pointed out that not remembering details is out of character for Cobb, or at least he won't ever admit that he doesn't know the details of something.
Right.
But so I think this either indicates that Cobb doesn't want to say, or that he doesn't want to remember, or that he really did get knocked around so bad that he doesn't, that part of it's gone.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Probably some combination.
Or it could be just adrenaline. I mean, he just, you know, I think I've been in stressful situations or had really tense moments or even difficult, like hard conversations where you look back and you're like, I don't really, you know, I remember the character of it, but I don't remember exactly what was said because it was, you know, it's so heated or so emotional that your brain kind of glosses over.
I think, that's the difference of living through something and then talking about your experience and then like telling a story that you've memorized and embellished to entertain someone else.
Well, yeah, and he's being vulnerable, so he's not thinking about, oh, I've got to I've got to actually tune this up a bit so it looks good. It's
right. Right.
He's just reliving the experience.
And you note that we don't have anyone gainsaying him, like, or like heckling him
right.
in the way that we usually get.
Can we jump to Martin for a sec?
Sure.
I had posited a theory from behind the curtain on a previous episode that maybe Martin was cracked in the same way that Ari is cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And this very much reads to me like that, where he just can't understand why the fence posts aren't square, because they should be square. They belong to be square, right? They that is their right place in the world, and they aren't that way. And he gets stuck.
Right.
John from Ventus floated the idea that it could be perhaps some sort of behavioral, not necessarily behavioral issue. I'm thinking, John said, we floated the idea that Martin is on the spectrum, like the autism spectrum.
Right. Just any kind of neurodivergence. I mean, he's definitely neurodivergent. We just don't know why.
True. That's what I was trying to say, but somehow it was because this is a quick behind the curtain. I lost myself because I almost said John from Ventus's real last name, and then I had to catch myself, and then my thoughts went out the back of my head.
Well, I think that could also be it. You could see someone getting stuck on something in a way that doesn't make sense to anyone else. But it could also just be his, you know, like we were saying before, his experiences in war, since he did pull a full reel.
Sure.
Already.
I liked the phrase... how Martin gets himself all in a puzzle sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know what was coming, but that is sort of like, wait, what does that mean? Hold on a second. What's Martin doing?
Yeah. The way he was talking to Jake about the square fence posts, the line, I couldn't half guess what he meant and not a thing I said made sense to him, makes me think that either they were really cross-wired, or it is like Martin was just in his own realm right then.
Right.
Or he was just, or in possibly an Ari-like way, he just, something was not right and he just had to keep going over and over and over it.
Well, we do see Martin. We do know that Martin chased Bast like up a tree and then like tried several ways to get Bast. And so I think maybe Martin is seeing things that other people are not seeing. So we don't know about the fence post. Maybe there is a reason why we would need them to be square. And like, we could make that argument for Ori as well, that like, maybe there is some magic to it or some other explanation.
Well, I'm wondering can I get this out real quick?
Sure. Yeah. Sorry.
What if Martin, this is kind of crackpot, just somehow on the battlefield or wherever, even before, slipped into Faye somehow and kind of is mad just because he now understands two different realities that he can't fully make sense of.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to further push my Ori agenda and say that I could see where Ori, having been trained for a while and then cracking in whatever way, would be prepared for this additional perception, even if not fully. Whereas Martin was just a soldier and now has some percentage of this perception, if that's what's happening, but he has no preparation for being able to deal with it. So he gets stuck in these loops.
Yeah. Cause I think Ari was, it seemed like pretty much her, and I don't mean to be pejorative here. I don't, well, I was going to say madness, but anyway, Ari's state of being seems to be a reaction to the stresses of sympathy. Whereas was Crazy Martin crazy before he went to war?
I don't think so.
We don't have any indication.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if they're kind of the same but different. I mean, he might have had PTSD for something, and I think Ari does too. I think that's kind of what it just your mind just stresses itself out. Anyway.
I guess all of it at the University is sympathy, but does Ori do alchemy?
I think so. Well, she knows it.
Right.
She definitely studied it.
I mean, all of it is based in sympathy, right? And then we're factoring or whatever based on that.
I think you have to have an element of sympathy. I don't know, like artificing, and you have to have an element of sympathy to make it work. I assume it's the same with alchemy, that not just anyone can come in and start mixing this stuff. You have to know.
No, it's just chemistry. It's just more complicated chemistry.
With some extra bits thrown in?
Yeah, that's all.
Bill, do you want any candy? Would you like some candy?
If I piss, can you turn it into delicious candy?
Yeah, of course. Only yours.
I think I wanted to note what Amrita said a little further back, now talking about the Tinker and Cobb's little interaction, that maybe Cobb doesn't want to tell them what the Tinker said because he doesn't want to admit the personal item
that
he was asking him about. But then again, that brings up the question, well, what was he asking for that he doesn't want to admit? And that all of a sudden, that by knowing he wants this guy automatically has all this like ammo against him to verbally attack him, right?
Right.
Either that or he's just being like, you bald old windbag, you know.
I mean, the only thing I can think of that like justify that kind of reaction are like really, really bad. So hopefully this Tinker is just like a jerk and Cop's not actually a really bad person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I guess there's nothing stopping the turnaround from happening, but I think that's definitely what we're supposed to take from it. You know, Cobb has incontinence problems or erectile dysfunction or something, and then this Tinker is purely a bully and not a real Tinker for whatever reason.
Yes, we're definitely trying to imply that this is not a real Tinker.
Right. And then we feel good about Martin just doing whatever he does on the next page.
And listener, we will do whatever we do on the next page, on tomorrow's narrow page.
Next page.
Page.